Blog Talk Radio.
Again, I love being that. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and we do thank you for participating. For those of you who are calling in by internet, the call-in number, this is an interactive, should I say, and once Pastor Mixon opens up the mic for interaction, you can be a part of that, amen? You may have questions or just join in on the conversation, and we'd love to hear from you. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, just hit the number one. If you cannot connect, and that will connect you with us. Most of the time, we usually leave the mics open. Tonight, we're going to close all the mics except for the speaker so that there's no distraction. So once she invites the request, then I'm going to open all the mics. Amen. Also, we'd like to let you know that we thank God that each and every one of you and your family are safe. Amen. In spite of all of this craziness, I want to say, uncertainties that's going on, we pray that you and your family are doing well and making sure that you are taking the necessary steps to not only protect yourself but also to protect others in your family. Amen. This is a critical time. We know that God is in charge, but we also have a responsibility on our end as well. We're going to move on over into New York, Long Island. For those of you who are listening for the first time, we have Pastor Mixon from out of Long Island, New York, who will be speaking this evening. And if you, we encourage you to really telephone, tell a friend that Pastor Mixon is on the line. She always has a powerful word, a message, you know, for you as those who are listening. Amen. And we do thank her each and every time that she comes on and shares the good news with each and every one of us. We're going to move over to the next voice you're going to hear is Pastor Dawn Mixon from out of Long Island, New York. Pastor Mixon, are you there?
Yes, God bless you, Elder Clay, and to your lovely wife and to all of you who are on the line. Again, as Elder Clay has shared with you, we ask that all of you will find somebody, find one somebody to get on the line. I'm sure that this word will bless their life. Don't keep it all to yourself, but let God bless someone else, especially in this season where we are, where there are many who are in need of a word from the Lord. And as also as Elder Clay has shared or said, if you're on the line, we pray that all of you and your families are safe. We are continually keeping you in prayer, as well as so many others who are suffering and going through at this time. But God, all I can say is but God. And when you put that but in there, it's a conjunction with reverses, everything that was said prior to it, the enemy trying to destroy what God has already designed to live. And we're praying, continuously praying. So we're going to a somewhat familiar passage of Scripture for some. We're going to 2 Kings 11, verses 1 through 8. 2 Kings 11, 1 through 8. And we are going to go into prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this time of servitude that we are able to share with your people, and that you are speaking to us as a body. We pray most of all, God, that even in this time of us in a place where things are falling all around us, God, we thank you because even in a world where things are falling all around us, somehow favor searches us out and finds us. And we thank you, God, for your word, and we thank you, Almighty God, for your people. And we ask that you will continue to bless this word. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. 2 Kings 11, starting at verse 1, we're going to look at the first 8 verses. And the word of the Lord reads, When Athaliah, the mother of Ahijah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehoshabed, the daughter of King Jehoram, sister of Ahazah, took Joash, the son of Ahazah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain. I'm going to say that again. Ash stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah. so that he was not slain. And he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. And the seventh year, Jehoshadad sent and fetched the ruler over hundreds with the camp and the guards and brought them to him into the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. And he commanded them, saying, this is the thing that ye shall do. Third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house. And a third part shall be at the gate of Shur. And a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall ye keep the watch over the house, that it be not broken down. And two parts of all that go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch of the house of the Lord about the king. And ye shall compass the king round about, and every man with his weapon in his hand, and he that cometh within the ranges, let him be slain. And be ye with the king as he goeth out and cometh in. I want to take for a brief subject on tonight. I won't let you kill what I gave birth to. I won't let you kill what I gave birth to. When we look at the word birth, the birth is the emergence of a baby or other young from the body of its mother. The start of life as a physical, separate being, the beginning or coming into existence of something. We understand that human existence is the creation of the Almighty God. And whenever that life has been taken away without God's permission, it means there is an unauthorized takeover of God's property. I'm going to say that again. Whenever it has been taken away without God's permission, it means there is an unauthorized takeover of God's property. There are many who feel there is just cause of why one's life should or can be taken, whether it be for their own personal agenda, whether it be through hatred or promotion or prestige. Whatever it may be, the Lord gives and the Lord is authorized to take away. When I think about what women in general have to go through to carry and hold on to what we have conceived, there is a physical and emotional roller coaster that we go through. There is a preparation that takes place that many family members engage in for the joy of the life of an individual who is being brought forth in this world. Life being as precious as it is, there is purpose for everyone that breathes in this world. I'm going to say it again. Life being as precious as it is, there is a purpose for everyone that breathes in this world. And some of us may say, well, I don't agree with that. There's people who are just bad seeds. But one thing I've realized that there is a purpose for every birth that takes place. Watch this. No matter how they got here, I'm going to let y'all marinate on that for a minute. I'm going to say it again. No matter how they got here, or how limited their skills may be here in their existence of life. We all, at some point, some people have a mindset. Even when children, if they can tell a child within the womb is going to have some disability, there are times where they don't believe that the child will make it past a certain period of life. And so they put out the option to those parents that you can eliminate the birth, abort the baby, because its lifespan will not be long enough for you to even enjoy, or the birth of this baby, this birth will have, he will not be able to speak, he will not be able to walk, he will not be able to talk. And there are many occasions where the doctors may have thought one thing, and the defiant parent says, I will not allow you to abort what I have conceived. And they allow that baby to be born. You have your Helen Kellers, and yet and still they are a name that is still being heard of even to this day. Because of their disability, people want to count you out. And I am here to say, just because they may be disabled or somebody may be going through a certain thing, or they are not at the place that you ought or think they should be. Some of you may even say there are people who have committed murders and different things. There is a life for a life. But what I've come to understand is that when I put whatever I need to put into the hands of God, please understand that God is the one who gives and the Lord is the one who taketh away. Watch this. And I come to find out that what is to be true? What is to be true? What you sow, you shall reap. And you've got to understand, when that scripture is talking about sowing and reaping, it's not just talking about all the good things that you reap. You're going to get a harvest of blessings of everything that you reap good. No, everything that you sow is going to come back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, whether the seed be good or the seed be bad. And so it's very important. It's very important, men and women of God who are on this line, that you understand what you sow, what you put in the ground, what you put in someone's spirit, what you air. You've got to be very careful even of your verbiage, of your words, of what you say, because you have the authority in your mouth. God has given us the authority to speak. You have to understand, we are born and we are formed, my God, in the image and likeness of God. So when we were emerged into the earth, we had the ability. God gave us the ability and the authority when we know how to use it, how to speak a thing, and it comes forth, because we are made in the image and the likeness of God. And if you ever tap into the very person that God made you to be, you will find that you have great authority in what you say and what you do. And somebody says, well, I don't understand why things are happening the way and how things are happening in my life. Why is this happening to me? Check your verbiage. Check what you're saying. Check what you're putting in the air. Some stuff you're going to have to snatch back real quick, because you don't want what you say to go too far. And so it's very important. It is very important what we say and what we do, because somebody's life depends on what you say and what you do, even your own. And so when I look here in the text, I'm bewildered. I'm almost lost, because technically, I am a grandmother of 10, not 5, when I introduced my son, who I did not give birth to, but he is just as much as a son to me as my daughter. And so when I think about those things, I think of my grandbabies, and sometimes they can take you to a stress level, and then they can take you to a place where your heart has melted. And they're like, you know, I don't know if you ever seen that commercial with the Sour Patch candy. First they're sour, and then they are real sweet. And so, you know, they have those emotional things that they take you through, but there is no love that I've ever experienced like the love of grandchildren. And so as I'm looking at the text, I see something in this chapter that I find to be unthinkable, that is taking place by a woman named Athaliah. Athaliah was the mother of Ahazah. She hears that her son is dead. When she hears that her son is dead, Athaliah takes an opportunity most grandmothers would have never taken just for political gain. The Bible lets us know that she orders the death of the offspring of her son. Now, if we are reading this text correctly, we are seeing a grandmother who puts a contract out on her own grandchildren to promote herself into a place of political gain and a place of authority. You have to understand, they are of all ages, even infants, whose lives are being taken in this text. And even if you go into the other chapters, or if you look in other books of the Bible, you will find that this is not the only time where you see a death contract off the lives of offspring. It was Moses who was born, and Pharaoh orders the death of every male child that is born to the Israelite women because they were increasing in number. My God, this sounds so familiar even today. When they began to increase in number, there was a fear that they would overtake the Egyptians. And so their way of putting their knee on their neck, y'all hear me,
all right,
their way
all right.
of putting their knee on their neck all right. was to eliminate them before they could have a chance to breathe. And
Amen.
So Pharaoh says, I want you to, he says to the guards, watch this, I want you for every woman, every Israelite woman that gives birth to a male child, I have given an order that you kill them. Right? And so what we see here in this text concerning Moses, Moses' mother refuses to allow them to kill what she gave birth to, so we find her hiding him until she can't hide him anymore. I'm going somewhere with this. And the Bible says that she put him in a basket. She made a basket for him, and she put him in the river so that he would float. And then the sister, my God in heaven, the sister watches where this baby goes. And when she does that, the Bible says the daughter of Pharaoh finds the child, picks the child up, and raises the child in the enemy's house. Oh, my God. She raises this child in the enemy's house, and the sister who kept watch over her brother says, do you want me to get one of the women to nurse the baby? Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. She goes and gets her own mother to nurse her own baby. Watch this. They take the baby out of the river, out of the Nile, and bring the mother who refuses to allow her child to die and gives it, and the daughter takes the child, and then she pays the mother for taking care and feeding her own baby. I'm trying to tell you how God will allow things that you think for your demise to be for the good of the nation. And so the Bible says here in the text concerning Athaliah, the Bible says in 2 Kings that Ahazah half sister Jehoshabed took Joash, his son, from amongst the dead and hides him for 6 years. My God, there's a lot of hiding going on, but I come to let y'all know that we're coming out of our hiding place.
Hallelujah, God.
I'm going ahead of myself. We're coming out of our hiding place. There is always God will always, people of God, raise someone up for his children and his nation to make sure that you are not left without someone that will speak up for us. Somebody said, well, I don't see anybody, but I come to let you know it's coming out of hiding. And God is getting ready to allow his children to live. Bible says that it was Jehoshabed who finds this baby amongst the dead, amongst his cousins and brothers. He finds the baby amongst the dead. There had to be a cry for them to find this baby amongst the dead. And I come to let you know that there are many who are around us that have been dead spiritually, slain spiritually, without breath in our body, spiritually on life support. But God will, even in amongst those that have been slain, for amongst those of us who are spiritually dead, God said, I'm going to find one somebody and pull them out of those who have been spiritually, and there's going to be an uprise in the spirit of the Almighty God that is going to bring breath back into the body of Christ. The Bible says that she hid this baby for 6 years. And here is Athaliah on the throne, reigning, thinking that there is no one that will come after her. There is no one that can take her place, that there is no one. She's above all and to be all. She's the only, watch this, she's the only thing that matters. My God. You've got to understand that when people get to a certain place in authority, if they're not connected to God, they only have their own agenda in mind. They only have their own thought process in mind. It is not about anybody else that's around them. It's not anybody else that is in the world around them. All they see is, in their eye view, what can I gain? Watch this. And only the people who are attached to me. If you're not for me, then you're not with me. That means you have to be eliminated from me. And if I eliminate you from me, that's why you got to look at everything that's happening right now in government. I ain't afraid to say we sitting up here looking at it like it ain't existing. I'm looking at it, whether it be on CNN or whether it be on ABC or whatever. We're looking at what is coming. But please understand, do not get upset, because one thing I understand is God's word is true. You cannot sow a seed and it not come back to you 50, 60, or 100-fold. My God, amen. And the more seeds you sow, the more things grow. I'm going to say it again. The more seeds you sow, the more things grow. Watch this. And they grow to backfire on you. Because one thing I've read in the Bible is that God said that he remembered the agreement that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He made the agreement. He remembers the agreement that he made with my former pastor, Mother Agnes Hiller, my father, Bishop Frank Nixon, for all of those who forefathers and foremothers that came before us. There was agreement that they prayed before God on the behalf of the generations to come. And know this, that those generations that were to come were going to be blessed off of the word. Y'all, here I go back again. The authority that was in the mouth that was spoken through the very oracles of God on the behalf of those who live here today. And so the enemy cannot kill what God wants alive. The enemy cannot kill what we've given birth to. Yeah, there are those who have been made sacrifices. You say, Pastor, there are people who are dying left and right, whether it be corona, whether that is something that was designed, I don't know, or not. Whether we're dying at the hand of authorities and different things like that, we're dying from the hands of each other. And so you've got to understand, there is an agenda to kill out or kill off what belongs to God. And I come to let you know that you cannot kill God's property without his authority.
That's right.
So when I look at the text, I see
this craziness going on in this text, as I see the craziness going around in our world. And so what happens, I love, is that the Bible lets us know that the priest, once this baby became the age of 6 years old, the priest went to the guards. The priest went to the guards because you have to understand Jehoshabed, the woman who took Joash, was the half-sister of Ahazar. This was her nephew. And so when they took the baby and when he became the age of 6 years old, watch this, they went to the guards. You got to know where to go to, because you can't let your enemy know what your left hand is doing or what your right hand is doing. You cannot let the enemy know you're doing it. See, that's how a lot of us mess up on a lot of things in life, and we lose out on things in life because we keep letting people know. Sometimes, here we go again with our words and our mouth. Sometimes silence speaks louder than words. And when we learn that silence can speak louder than words, my God, some things don't define an answer at the moment. Because one thing I've learned is that I can show you better than I can tell you. I can show you how good God is better than I can tell you. In the midst of a pandemic, I'm finding myself being blessed better than I was before it. Somebody says, well, I don't understand. How is that possible? Because whatever God has designed, my God, for you is for you. And when people have counted you out because they look at your limitations, they say that there is no purpose for you on this earth. There is no reason for you to breathe or live. But God said, I found purpose for you. There's a reason why I created you. I didn't create it for you to just take up the mass of matter. I brought you into this world because you do matter, and because you do matter, I'm going to put you in a place of this mass where people are going to see you that counted you out. And so what I love about this text is they went to the guards and to them. Now, those who are supposed to protect the kingdom and watch over the palace, y'all do what you got to do, a third here, a third there. But what I need you to do is that there are going to be those who are off. You're going to protect this king. You are going to surround this king. And wherever he goes, when he goes out, you protect him. When he comes in, you protect him. And then I had to ask myself this question. Why are they not loyal to the one that is on the throne? But their loyalty is going to the one who had the authority of the throne. I'm going to say this again. I need y'all to catch it. Why are they not loyal to the one who sits on the throne? But they become loyal to the one who has the authority to the throne. Can I help y'all today? And I got to hurry up with this here so I can open up these lines. The reason why it doesn't matter who is in the White House, who's sitting on what we consider the American throne. I am loyal to the one who has the authority of the throne. My God. Over those. Because one thing is that I cannot praise a creature over a creator. My God.
That's right.
I cannot praise what was created and act like the one that created it doesn't know all about it. My God, can we give God some credit? Can we give God some understand, God? I don't understand what you doing, God. I don't know how you doing it, God. I don't even know why this is happening. Everything is in chaos. But why can we not see the very hand of God? Just because God is silent in your world does not mean that God is not working, my God. Hallelujah.
Right.
When he comes in, he comes in like a flood. my God. Yeah. And let me tell you, if you look back in Old Testament, oh, my God, will tell you what your future can be like. If you pay attention to history, for it is very true, the history repeats itself over and over again. Every evil king, every bad king, my God, had to face, my God, had to face what he sowed against God's people. You're not going to be able to sow what you sow against God's people and think that your life is not going to be taken or snuffed out of you. Matter of fact, most of those kings that treated Israel bad or mistreated God's people died of a terrible death.
Sometimes
you got to sit like Philly sat in the color purple just waiting to see what's getting ready to happen. I can't get nobody to help me right here. Sometimes you got to sit and figure out what God's doing. Just let it happen. Just let it happen. I got to the point where I got so angry at the place this morning because I got so angry and it began to affect me today because as I heard of the hanging of these young men in California, and I'm sitting there saying, God, I need you to do something right now because what we're not going to do is hang folks from trees. We're not doing this, and that be okay. You're not going to do that. That's somebody's baby. That's somebody's child. That's somebody's nephew. That's somebody's sister. That's somebody's brother. And so when I'm looking at it, I said, God, how did we stretch so far back in time that we're where we are, and then we want to ice and brush over it as it is as if it's a suicide? My God. God said, listen. He said, listen to me. You can anger, but sin not. And I said, you know, I got to the point I didn't want nobody talking to me today. I didn't want nobody to work today. I didn't really want to be bothered with too many people today because I just did not know what I would say because the anger, and I understand the anger and the feeling and the emotion of people because we are human. We've got to understand we are human. We are spirit. And we've got to understand there are parts that make us up. And so you've got to understand, even Jesus said, you know, when he started thinking about what he had to do, God, let this cup pass from me. Because he knew what he had to do was a hard task. Nevertheless, not my will, but God, let your will be done. And I come to let you know on today what you have birthed. What you have birthed, and I'm not just talking physically. I'm not just talking about your children. I'm talking about spiritual birth because stuff like this that happened in the natural will try to kill your spirit, you know, and we cannot allow to do, let somebody else's agenda take away what you're assigned to do for your life. I'm getting ready to open up the lines, and I want you to share with me, everyone that can and will, open up the lines and tell me, you know, some of the things, even concerning the text, I don't want us to go too far off of things because there's so many things that are going on. And I want us to really, we've got to understand it's all right to talk. If you ain't all right, say I'm not all right. It's all right to say I'm not all right. Amen? Because what we have to do is make sure that we're guarded, just like they took the guard and guarded the king. The Bible says, when Athaliah heard them saying, long live the king, she went to go find out what they were doing. And she died a terrible death. Let me tell you, y'all read the rest of the chapter. Y'all read the rest of the chapter. I'm trying to help y'all. You cannot kill what I birthed and think that you're not going to pay for it. Amen. The lines are open. Y'all go and let me hear your views of some things that you may have heard on tonight. Amen.
You know what? You took my breath away because I never thought about these verses and how applicable they are to today and what's going on today. This message this message tonight has already gone out, is, you know, to many people where they can access it afterwards. But it's important that we share, and it's important that we, the body of Christ, especially people of color in the body of Christ, and, well, you know what, not just people of color, people that have been marginalized in society that are the body of Christ, that we know that there's hope and that we have an understanding of our place, and that the Lord was a reminder of the Lord being our shield and our defender, that we are safe under his wing.
Amen.
And the blessings that come from staying close to him and in his will, regardless of what the world is doing, regardless of what's going on.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Good evening, all. Good evening, all, on tonight. This is Miles. In the name of Jesus. So, Pastor, once again, you hit the nail on the head. allow me to minister to you to something that you said. You came across my spirit today as I was working, and I was wondering why, and you said that you didn't want to speak to anybody today because I got a good word on Sunday, and I got a good word today. And I want to tell you about the emotions and the feeling. Whenever you feel like that going forward, even today, always remember God created emotions, and emotions are good. That shows that you have the heart of God. Even God himself felt a certain way. And you even ministered to yourself, be angry and
Absolutely.
Sin not. Just
Absolutely.
Don't act on those emotions without acting and putting the word of God in effect. So don't feel some type of way about yourself about that. God made emotions, and emotions are good. I'll say that to you in the name of Jesus, says preach. Love you much. God bless.
God bless you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, but when you act out on your emotions, you're planting seeds. You know, and when you act on your emotions, whether you're acting out in anger and you act out on it and you plant that seed, it's going to come back to you. If you act on your emotions and it's good and you do good, it comes back to you. And you have to understand, it's one thing about God does. He doesn't do anything little, because the scripture says it's not just going to come back to you any kind of way. It's going to come back to you good measure. Press them. Shaken together, and then it's going to run over. So that means there's going to be some overflow that is taking place in your life, and you've got to make sure that the overflow is for your betterment. Amen.
Pastor Mixon, we're hearing an echo. Must have two units on. I
only have one unit on.
Okay. We're hearing an echo when you're talking.
Yeah, I heard it. I could hear it too. It's gone now, so I don't know what that was. It might have been my phone was ringing. I really want also to say to you that we can't, as a culture or a people, water down who we are to try to make other people feel better about themselves. You know, because there's been a great injustice that has been done to our race. This has nothing to, doesn't mean we don't love other races, doesn't mean that we don't care about other people, but we have to acknowledge the fact. Let's do what it is. Let's call it what it is. This component right here has been gravely unjust. And on top of that, We don't need to add anybody else into the equation. Let's deal with this portion right here. And a lot of times we try to water things down so other people can receive it. But we've got to understand, we can't sugarcoat this because people are having a hard time swallowing it. Because the truth of the matter is they don't give us sugar when we receive it, you know. And so I need people, you know, and I think this generation that we have, and we're getting ready to have a meeting with some of the youth in the area by Zoom on tomorrow, but
the voices that are of all cultures that are coming together in this day and time, I applaud it, but then I also have to find out what is the motive behind some of it. And somebody said, well, Pastor, what do you mean? Because we see, I was looking at a clip where these two young Caucasian girls decided they wanted to deface a building and put Black Lives Matter initials on it. And the young lady said, what are you doing? A black young girl said, what are you doing? That's not what we're doing. This is not, well, we're trying to be out here and support you. And we're trying to let people know, but that's not our agenda. Our agenda is not to destroy. Our agenda is to make aware. And so we've got to understand and allow, it's wonderful that all cultures are coming in and young people are coming in and they are part of the movement, but you got to know what the movement's about before you just come out. And this is more than a march. Right. It's more than a shout. You know, it's more than the anger, because they anytime you do something, know what you're doing it for. Know the purpose behind it. And I think a lot of things that take place, whether it be in the church or be in politics or be in the family, what is the purpose behind what we're doing? And the purpose should always be building one another. And, you know, we've been known, our culture has been known to be like crabs in a barrel. And that's because people spoke it. We've got to reverse what we say concerning one another. We have to reverse what we say about one another. We've got to build one another up. You know, if somebody pushes you up, then that means you are supposed to reach your hand back behind you and pull them up. So we're it's not just an awakening to other cultures about us, but it's an awakening to our own culture that we've got to be able to be there and stand there for one another. Because when we look at all of the scriptures and different ones that are in scripture, we've got to learn how to be there for one another and not fight against one another, because we're looking for the same thing. And can I tell you, there's enough. Let me tell you, God has so much in this earth that people can be blessed all over, and they still will not take up all what God has, because what ends up happening is it replenishes itself. It keeps rejuvenating itself, you know. And so, you know, let's not kill each other, and let us not kill spirits. Let's not kill ideas, you know. Let's build them up. Support somebody. If they got a business, support them. Amen? So this is how we keep our spirits alive, which is our babies. It is our spiritual babies. It's our natural babies. It's our business babies, whatever you want to call it. Support. Support it. And when we don't support it, we kill it. Amen? Amen. Anybody else?
I think we need to equip the next generation in ministry. Like you said, it's a purpose for everything. But if our young people don't know the purpose of what God has for his people, then if we fail to preach the gospel to them and share the gospel through how we exemplify Christianity to them, you know, with our lifestyle, you know, we don't have to go in preaching, oh, if you don't do this, God is going to punish you. We have to go, like you said, with kindness, and we have to speak loud to them through things that we say and things that we do. But we have to touch the lives of this next generation, because in how many years, 30 years, I'm quite sure me and you will not be available. And if we don't, if the next generation don't know who God is, that's where evil, deception, and all the other things that are of Satan will take place. Blessed is the nation that the Lord gives. So we have to really get involved, you know, in different ways, because everybody can't get out there and march. I wish I could, but I can't. But I have other ways in touching the lives of people through ministry. When I had people come to my house to do repairs, I had a Bible to give them. I had some pamphlets to give them. And I told them, I talked about the Lord a little bit, and I said, these are something that you can read, these books that I'm giving you. You can read, and you can do whatever you want with it. But I said, I'm going to pray for you, and I gave them my number. So these were younger people. So if they have any questions, I can help them. Because sometimes you can give people something, if they have nobody to talk to about godly material, they might be a little late.
Amen. But I find one of the greatest tools that we have of teaching is your example. Babies always learn by what they see, what they hear.
Mm-hmm.
And when we show them, and this is what the injustice was spiritually to our children. I was looking on Facebook, and somebody posted, I believe it was one of my cousins, posted pictures from my generation as we were growing up. We had one of the largest criers on Long Island some, you know, 30 years ago. And the injustice of that, now I've been saying it, I won't back down from it, is that my generation stopped doing what the generations before did because they were upset and angry because and some of it is their fault. Some of it is the generation before their fault, because we can't say one thing out of our mouth in church and live another thing in our house,
right?
Because our children are watching us.
Yeah.
And then it set them off. And so while we were taught that we were going to go to church, no matter, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, you didn't have options. Whereas the generation that came after my generation gave their children options. You ain't got to go to church. I ain't going to do you like my mama did me. And this is where we are. So there's a lost generation that we have. And now it's difficult because the generation that has come after our children have their own agenda and mindset because they were not raised in that environment. But if you look at other cultures, they never change, and they don't back down on what they teach their children. They are not allowed to go out of the guidelines or outside of what their beliefs are. And we're the ones who have done an injustice spiritually to our children by not being an example, number one, and number two, not putting them in the place where they would be able to hear the word of the Lord. Watch this, because faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so
right.
In order for us to get our faith, we've got to hear our faith.
Right. And demonstrate our faith, too. That's why I said to exemplify Christianity is very important.
Absolutely.
And sometimes, when I went over to the Holy Land, and this man, he knew the Bible inside out, and everything, and I just knew he was a Christian. But when we got ready to go into the tomb, he would not go because he didn't believe in Jesus Christ. So even though he showed the 5 days that he was with us, he knew the Bible, he was very nice, polite, and everything. But when we got ready to go in the tomb, because he didn't believe in Jesus Christ, we had another leader to tell us about the tomb, the death and burial of Jesus Christ. So sometimes people, they can have their characteristic is very nice, their demeanor. But they can look like a Christian, they can talk like a Christian, but they're not a Christian. But if you stay around a person for X amount of time, you will learn something about their character.
That's true. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to turn it back over to you, Elder Clay, because she's just pulling some stuff out of me tonight. The thing is, you can know the word, but if you don't apply or get the revelation of the word, it just means words to you. So basically, he was just doing a job. And as much as he knows the Bible inside out, he has not had a revelation of word because he refuses to have a relationship exactly with the word. And so because he refuses to have a relationship with the word, he's not getting all he can out of the word. If he could get or understand what those words mean, my God, the power that would be over his life. And you know, at that point in time, I would just pray that the Lord get him, just like you did Paul, you know, get him. And so that you will reverse the mindset of those. That's why even though when Jesus said to Peter, who do men say that I am? When he said it to the disciples, he said, who do men say that I am? And they kept saying, you're a prophet. Some say Elijah, some Elisha. He said, but who do you say? You've been walking with the word. You've been looking at the word. You've been around the word. Who do you think I am? It was Peter that stood up and said, you are the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood did not give that to you, but because of the Spirit of God gave that to you. So you can't, you can have the Bible, you can have the words, but if you don't have the Spirit of God, it's just words. God bless y'all.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Mighty. We also thank each and every one of you for participating and commenting. We learn from each other. We are the body of Christ, and we learn from each other. Each part of the body has a purpose, and we learn from each other. So we do thank you for that. On that note, when I think about Proverbs, train up a child in the way they should go. When they depart, they'll know the way. And the other thing I think of is in Hosea, when it says that my people perish for lack of knowledge. And I like what you're saying, but you, in terms of purpose. If you don't have a purpose, then you're just out there. You're just going in any direction. So I like that, you know, when you're saying that there should be a purpose. And with the youth that are out there now, many are out there, and they don't know what the purpose is. They're out there because it's a group thing. It's a social media thing, but they don't know what the purpose is. So there needs to be some type of training so that they understand what the purpose is. And once they get the purpose, then they'll know how to run. They'll know how to run with it.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
In training the children and the young people and even some of us that may have some gray hair, too, we have to think about us as a people. And we need to learn how to celebrate the gains and celebrate the blessings and be reminded, we have to remind one another of how blessed we are and how the Lord has brought us through before and he will do it again. So if we can speak life to one another, like you were saying as you ministered, if we speak life to one another and watch our words and speak words of encouragement and blessings instead of curses, then that's going to help. I also want to say another subject is that you remember that Friday is Juneteenth, Friday, June 19th is Juneteenth. Please think about ways that you can celebrate Juneteenth. If you don't know what it is, we don't have time to go into the details of the African-American holiday, but it is the oldest one. And the other thing is that on June 18th and 19th, there's a protest. Commerce, so we're not spending any money anywhere, not a dime, on the 18th and 19th.
Amen.
Smile.
Once again,
one more thing. I just have one more thing to ask. Elder Clay, is today somebody's birthday? Or is my memory slipping?
Yes, it is, sir. Thank you.
That's so good.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Whose birthday is it?
Thank you so much.
Whose birthday?
I appreciate it.
Elder Clay.
I wasn't going to
mention Elder Clay. So you're a Gemini like me, Elder Clay. This is Minister Washington, Bernice Washington.
Yes.
I didn't know.
Ma'am.
Okay. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And make you
Now, you should have known I wasn't going to let that sneak under the radar. You should have known better than that one.
I wanted to mention, just to kind of take a twist, is we have to remember that everything that we're going against is evil, and evil, but God has turned that around. And if you turn that around, it's L-I-V-E, and God wants us to live in through the Word of God. So I just want to leave you
awesome.
With you on that.
Amen.
And thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Very
remember
good.
We,
very good.
God loves you.
So all I have is lost.